everyone. This is Patricia Corey coming to you live on BBS Radio on Beyond the Matrix, the radio show that dares you to think outside the box of convention. And surely if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that's exactly what we do here. And tonight will be no exception to that intention with my guest, Michael Murphy, who is the producer of the film What in the World Are They Spraying? And he's got a new version out now, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And you all know that I have issues with the chemtrail geoengineering of our planet and have been talking about this for 12 years or more, back when nobody was. And people were saying, get this girl locked up, she's crazy. But finally, at last, people are starting to recognize this goo and gauze on our skies and the darker reasons for it. And hopefully today we will also talk about what we are doing to change that outcome. We'll be talking about Monsanto too. Before I get Mike on, I just want to announce that I do finally have the Peru program you've been all waiting for. It's just being finished now, and you'll be wanting to check my site to see what that is about. And so please check SyrianRevelations.net in the next coming days, and you'll get all the information you need about that. And there is still also room on my England journey, mystical journey to the crop circles and sacred sites. So just keep an eye on my website, which I'm trying to update as quickly as possible, because crazy, crazy times in 2012. I know a lot of you are feeling it. It's just like, whoa, talk about time warping and moving into the no time. I'm panting as I speak. At any rate, here we go. I'd like to bring in my knowledgeable and committed guest, Michael. Hi, Michael. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Patricia, and thanks for covering this issue. And you're right. People are starting to wake up and take action about this, so it's a great time to be in the movement, and we're making a lot of progress.
We are making a lot of progress, and you know, I mean, I'm sure you are like me. You have been shouting for years now, and it just, I look at the sky. I remember when my mother was still with us, which is 9 years ago, and she'd say, "Honey, you've really got to relax." I go, "Don't you see these stripes? Doesn't this concern you at all? Look at our beautiful blue sky disappearing." And it's just ridiculous how absolutely wildly they're going to town on the skies. So let's start, Michael. First, let's talk a little bit about your first film. What brought you to do this? A little bit about your background, so my guests know who we've got on today.
Oh wow, it's kind of a long story, but you know, like most people, the first person that told me airplanes were spraying chemicals into our sky to make artificial clouds, I thought they were totally crazy. At that time, I lived in Arizona. But then a few months later, I started noticing that we had these high, what appeared to be cirrus clouds, you know, on a regular basis. And when I first moved to Arizona, we rarely had a blemish, you know, other than when a monsoon rain came in or, you know, or a winter storm. But nothing in the sky, deep blue. So I noticed that the skies were changing. But it wasn't until somebody had actually pointed out an airplane, and I began to watch the skies and noticed that these trails turned into what looked like these high cirrus clouds. So I became interested, started addressing and researching the issue called chemtrails and geoengineering, and became concerned and started noticing it on a very regular basis. But it wasn't until I went to the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, and for 3 days, geoengineers spoke about their plans and proposals to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide into our skies. They said it was for the stated goal of cooling the planet. Aluminum's very reflective. However, what I found in my second investigation, which is the film that we're working on now, it's going to be, I think, even more of a groundbreaker. It's about many other things other than it actually has nothing to do with warming the planet. Putting aerosols into our sky, as discussed by geoengineers, creates a temporary regional cooling, but those aerosols act as a blanket, and they actually hold the heat in and warm the planet. We've seen nighttime highs go up in the past 10 years since these programs have been ramped up. But, you know, they were talking about some of the risks associated with this, ozone depletion, crop disruption. They spoke, and we're covering this in the next film. 2 billion people can have their food disrupted if we deploy these programs. Well, guess what? They have deployed these programs, and we have food disruption as a result. So there are many, many more damaging effects from these programs. I'm just scratching the surface, but I became deeply, deeply concerned, and the doors opened up. You know, after that, I wrote an article called What in the World Are They Spraying? And the article got a ton of press. It was translated into several different languages. And after that article, people started sending me plane tickets to come and investigate this. So for some reason, there was a divine calling to address this issue. As a result, funders, people donated to the project. We literally started with under $500 in the bank account, but we finished a film that's been seen by over 10 million people, and it's been an effective tool and a catalyst for creating a worldwide movement, and we're in the process of creating several ordinances around the world banning these programs. I'm actually on the island of Maui talking from the rainforest, but we're working on the Clean Sky Ordinance, which will ban geoengineering programs on and around the island of Maui, and then we're going to be bringing it to the other island. So I have the very nice pleasure of being able to work in Hawaii and address this. So wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, I'd like to address this matter because so often my, let's say, audience discusses, or I hate to say the word lament, but it's concern that it's just so all-encompassing that there's very little we can do. And of course, I'm a spirit warrior, and my message is every single thought matters, much less every single action. So when you say that you are going to ban them, I'd like to know how the people of Maui expect or intend to be able to stop such a global military. I mean, we know that this is a very high up global op, and how do the people affect this kind of change where they can actually get it banned
Right, I think that's a great question. And when we're here a little less than a year ago, we went to Earth Day and we tabled, and I handed out, we're allowing people who purchase What in the World Are They Spraying and our new DVD to make copies and hand out for free. So as a result, we have people who get involved with activism. And during Earth Day, we handed out several hundred DVDs. People became concerned about it. It provoked a public official to do over 30 rain tests, which revealed contamination, dangerous levels of aluminum, barium, strontium, and other heavy metals. And he became concerned. Anyways, because we reached out to the public, we gained public support. We had a geoengineering conference here on the island and got critical mass. So as a result, we reached out to the county board and met with them behind closed doors, educated them about this issue, and they are now aware of the damaging effects and how detrimental these programs are, not only to the world, but also here to Maui. Maui has seen significant changes in their ability to grow natural organic foods. A lot of people live off of the land. However, that's in jeopardy. I've spoken with many farmers. All of them are telling me things are starting to die. I mean, I'm looking at things here in the rainforest where it's been raining for the past 5 days. Everything is brown here, and that's common. Wow. So when it rains, things become more brown. But to answer your question, how are the people in Maui going to stop these global programs? They're not. And I'm not naive to believe that Maui is going to stand up for the whole world. But the point is this. Maui is a very small area, and we will pass ordinance. And as a result, we're going to use this as a model for counties and cities around the world. And collectively, if we all stand up, we will have the ability and we will get these programs stopped. No question about it. So this is the beginning of the movement in terms of ordinances. But look, just a year and a half ago, very few people even knew the word chemtrail. We were a catalyst in now waking up millions of people and also activating millions of people. So when I hear the word, you can't do anything about this, I get saddened by it, because that is the greatest deception in the world. And I really want to address the power of the spoken word. And bottom line is this, if each and every one of us who is aware of this and aware of the damage, stood up and said, you will not do this in my area. You will not destroy my property. You will not hurt my family and my children. They would not be able to continue. And I believe in that so much. So we're making great progress, and I have I look at this in great faith. You know, some people look at it in fear, thinking there's nothing that we could do, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. We have to look at it in faith, knowing that we have power and we have the ability to create the future world that we want. We just have to exercise that.
Indeed. I agree with you completely, and I am absolutely on board in that line of thinking. It's interesting it's so timely that you've come on my show, because so much is being revealed about Monsanto at this time, and we know that Monsanto is profiting from the chemtrail phenomenon with their new seeds that are resistant to aluminum. Can you speak about that?
Well, what we uncovered in the next film was a direct link between Monsanto and the trailer for Why in the World Are They Spraying can be seen on truthmediaproductions.us. Please go and see it. That's also been considered a groundbreaker. It's about 8 minutes, but it's got a great reception. It's a release about 12 days ago. It's literally gone viral. But anyways, we know there's no question. And as we uncovered in What in the World Are They Spraying, these programs sterilize and toxify our soil. And aluminum is the primary ingredient. Hopefully we'll discuss why they're putting that into our atmosphere. I mean, there are many agendas, but the primary reason. But it does destroy soil. So as a result, not only of the weather changes, which geoengineers are very open that their programs will affect weather, will modify weather, and destroy our soils, and thus reducing the food security of over 2 billion people. So there's a problem, and I'm looking at, again, food that should be plentiful here in the rainforest. They are seeing declines in that. So conclusively, our soils are being contaminated, but there is a solution. And we first looked at the aluminum-resistant seed, and I'm not 100% sure because it's a very complicated patent, but that patent is for acidic soils. Aluminum actually makes our soils alkaline. So we thought, wow, maybe we're barking up the wrong tree about this this possible Monsanto connection, until Barbara Peterson of FarmWars made me aware that Monsanto has a stress-resistant seed that will grow in drought conditions, flood conditions. It will also grow in conditions where our soils are toxified with heavy metals. There's no question, no doubt, that Monsanto profits from this. And to make things even worse, in the new trailer, Why in the World Are They Spraying, you can find that on truthmediaproductions.us, and also pre-order your DVD. That'll help with food production. But anyways, Bill Gates is a funder into geoengineering research. This is for public record. We can talk about him if you want to get into
detail. Oh, yes. We must talk about him indeed today.
But Bill Gates also is a heavy investor in Monsanto, so there's no question that he profits from the destruction that he creates. It's the old Hegelian dialectic, the problem, reaction, solution. And, you know, if you want me to touch on Bill Gates, a lot of people that I've spoken to, especially people who are more involved with the establishment, say, I love Bill Gates. Isn't he a philanthropist? And
yes,
bottom line is
this.
Bill Gates has spoken about his objectives to depopulate the planet, population control, and mm-hmm. a lot of people think he's just some geek that started Microsoft in a garage, and he may have been, but his father had very close ties to these criminal elite, and he worked very closely in establishing a eugenics program, which was at the time called the Negro Project. Today it's called Planned Parenthood. And Margaret
really?
Sanger, the founder, yes, and Margaret Sanger, the founder, who worked very closely with Bill Gates' father, is on public record saying, we're creating Planned Parenthood to, and I quote her, get rid of the Negro problem in the inner city. So that was definitely, and still is today, in part of eugenics operations. So Bill Gates is involved with some very damaging, very destructive programs that has little, if any, regard to human life.
That is a surprise. I'm not going to say I'm a super informed person, but I do pay attention to stories that are of concern to me, and I did not know that about his daddy. Very interesting. So we have Bill Gates buying $500 million worth of stocks for Monsanto just about a week or two ago, right?
Well, it was probably a month or two ago. So now it's public record, and there's no question that he's benefiting from this. And again, just from the contamination alone, we know that our soils are being toxified. And I'm here in Hawaii, and God, about a little less than a year ago, I did a short film. It was shot on iPhones, but it was called Hawaii Revisited, and it was our trip back to the island of Maui. Of course, we filmed What in the World Are They Spraying for about a week here, and it was a beautiful time, but it was also a saddened time because the folks who live here noticed at that time when we filmed that they were starting to see declines in their crops. But when I went back a year later, I've interviewed several farmers, all who have seen up to a 50% decline in certain crops. Not every crop is dying, but certain crops are. Anyways, the concern is this. Many people, again, live off of the land, and they're dependent on natural seeds and natural systems. They're concerned now because they're starting to see declines in their yields that they may have to completely change their lifestyle and start in the future purchasing these genetically modified seeds. And that's really the end of freedom because the people here do not have to go to a corporation to get their food supply. They just go to the land. And I think that's the natural balance of God and nature. And what really awakened me up to what the agenda was, and I'd like to talk about weather control because that's the focus of the next film, but this is about taking systems that are dependent on nature and genetically modifying them, usurping the authority to bring them under the authority of corporations and man so that man can have godlike power. And it's interesting, geoengineer David Keith said geoengineering gives man godlike power, and that's what I think he was talking about. These programs do allow these individuals to usurp the authority of God and bring it under the authority of man, and that's what's happening. We're seeing genetic modification of every natural system, and the people in Hawaii, they are dependent on God, most of them. They're not dependent on these corporations, and it looks like that's going to be in jeopardy. And they're a threat to the corporations behind this because they live free.
So in other words, the diabolical scheme is poison the earth with these metals and other. I'd like to talk about also the polymers filled with bacteria, but poison the earth and have the antidote. It's kind of like the vaccine in a sense. Have the antidote, which is the seed from hell that will grow in the environment of aluminum toxified soil. So that the whole system is being controlled by Monsanto, basically, right?
Well, I think Monsanto and this corporate governmental conglomerate, I call it the beast, and it wants to control every natural system. And once they have a foothold on everything, we will not be able to get natural systems back. Monsanto has an agenda, and they've been very clear. We want to own everything that grows. That means they want to have this godlike power and control every piece of vegetation, every piece of food that we eat. And that's what it is. It's spoken about in every major religion. This is about these entities taking away the power of God and having the power of God. Through these programs, they're able to do it. And that's why it's so serious. We really collectively have to think about the future that we want. And if we want a future where we can eat natural organic foods, and if we have a future where we want to breathe clean, fresh air and live healthy lives, then we better get up and stand up, because I will tell you, and I say this very seriously, there is no greater threat to the planet short of complete nuclear fallout. These programs are insidious, they're very slow, but they have detrimental effects. We really need to think about the future that we want, and we have the ability to create it. That's the beautiful thing. We just have to stand up and exercise our authority, because we definitely have it, but we have to exercise it. And that's why I promote activism so much. A lot of people call me a filmmaker. I don't identify with that. I am an activist, on this issue and on this issue alone, because I believe really that there's no greater threat on the face of the earth that we will ever face. And it's not a life that I'm willing to live in, so I'm going to focus my life on educating people and activating people to address this.
Well, you're speaking to a fellow activist, and so I pause to thank you for such a clear direction and such a commitment as yours. And yes, it's very obvious that in the last, I'd say, 6 to 8 months, the public awakening is, the mass awakening is starting to happen. And even we've seen now chemtrails being discussed on public media. And that's a shocker, because it was just, you don't go there unless you want to worry about how you're going to get across the street. So there is definitely an increase of awareness. How can you not? I mean, you look at the sky and it's just a grid, a clear grid, patterns, the X's, whatever. How can you not notice this? How can you be so anesthetized that you don't notice what's going on in the sky above you? It just blows me away. But you brought up radiation, and I know this is not necessarily your field of specialty, but I do have to ask you, since you're in Hawaii, there's no question that all of this radioactive cloud and debris coming from Japan is headed right on course for Hawaii, and some of this debris is already hitting the West Coast. What is your understanding of that? Do you feel that that's also a deliberate situation?
You know, I haven't looked into it enough, and I when I say this, I'm honest. I work 7 days a week, about 90 hours, just on the chemtrail geoengineering issue. I have not had, I've had very few minutes to myself, so I have not been able to look at any other issues, so I specialize in this. There's a lot of speculation. I've heard some people speculate. I can tell you what people said, but until I'm able to research it, I just am not able to comment on that. And I think it's important for me just to maintain my stance on the chemtrail geoengineering issue. But it's very important. There's no question about that. And I think there's a lot of very questionable things that need to be discussed about that issue. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. Let's talk about the We're going to get into weather control, which is very important, because we know that the military has been working on weather control for 25 years or more. So it should come to no surprise to us that part of this, campaign to blanket the planet in these chemtrails has very much to do with weather control. And I'd like to talk to you about the obvious, and that is that if all this metal is going into the atmosphere, then surely we are creating a conductive shield around the planet. Is this part of a weather control mechanism, or is it actually part of a weapons system?
Well, there are many different agendas.
Let me just interject what I mean by that. A lot of people that are listening know about HAARP. Are the chemtrails being used as a shield to be able to bounce the HAARP rays off of and target certain areas on the planet? And so let's talk about weather control and that.
There are many different agendas behind these programs, but just based on the new film and what I've researched, weather control appears to be the number one agenda. And again, weather control gives godlike power to these entities who are behind these programs. So I just interviewed Dr. Nick Begich. He came out to Maui. We sat down in the studio. Wonderful. Incredible interview. We're going to probably post a few clips up on the website for the new film, which is whyangels.info, whyangels.info. You can see the current trailer that we have, where I spoke with former 20-year weatherman and meteorologist Scott Stevens. He educated me and has been studying this, and it's very common about 500 to 1,000 miles ahead of a storm to see very heavy trailing. And a number of people had asked me, you know, why are we seeing this? Why are we seeing this? And so I went out to Colorado, interviewed Scott, spent about 5 days with him, and I was sponge. I was just learning everything that he had been watching. Aluminum is, again, the primary ingredient. And by spraying that up into the sky through the use of HAARP, because HAARP is an ionospheric heater, and the use of other technologies, it enables these entities to heat up parts of our sky. And what does a heated sky do? It raises and it expands and it creates a vacuum. And that vacuum creates a low pressure system which enables these corporations to actually steer storms. I also went to an aerosol research conference in Orlando, Florida, and I spoke with many different scientists. I learned about a lot about clouds, the ability to nucleate and create rain, and without a doubt, aerosols in our sky do affect clouds, their density, and their ability to nucleate. And by putting different aerosols into our sky, which we have, it enables these corporations to create droughts and make it rain and then steer storms where they want it to go. There's no question that these programs are directly linked to weather control, weather modification. And then we've looked into, you know, my first question was, why would somebody want to control the weather? And then the deeper I go, I'm learning that certain corporations gain an incredible amount of monetary and political power by modifying the weather. So, again, it's not only linked into the corporatization of all natural systems, because like in drought regions, it's funny because geoengineers say our programs will create droughts in Africa and Asia. Well, historically, Africa and Asia have had natural organic seeds, but now they're in this drought condition, and the farmers are being put out of business. The ones that want to stay alive have to move to these new stress-resistant and drought-resistant seeds. So it's a very effective tool, and it's a very slow, very quiet war that we're having, but it's a very effective tool for these corporations to control the food supply around the world.
All right, so you look at a country like Hungary and also India, who are outright banning GMO seeds, GMO plants from their countries. Are we looking at a situation where they can simply create a drought? They can expect to receive a drought, manufactured drought conditions, so that they're forced to take on these seeds?
I would predict that. I would definitely predict that. It's very interesting when we see countries that are outside of this globalist agenda. They're having all types of earthquakes and all types of weird weather patterns that come upon that country. So there's no question. It's a very effective tool of warfare. And let's be honest, war is not about bringing democracy into other parts of the country. War is about money and power.
Bringing democracy at the point of a nuclear arsenal and guns and weapons.
Right. So let's get that out under the table. People are like, war is not about corporations. No, war is about money. War is about power. And when our country or the countries go to war, they do it for the corporate interest. No question about that. So these programs allow them to do that. And it's interesting because weather war, and we know there's a military document called Owning the Weather in 2025. That's an expressed interest of the U.S. military. But it's a very effective weapon of war. And if you look at the wars in Iraq and now Iran, what are they doing? They're using this propaganda through the airwaves and through the media to try and get public support behind this war effort. They're saying they're creating a situation of fear, so people are supporting this war effort. Well, weather warfare and these other acts of war, which, by the way, the Defense Secretary Robert Cohen said that there's a new type of eco-terrorist that has the ability to control weather and have seismic weapons. Anyways, it's a very effective tool because you can create droughts or you can create weather patterns in countries and not have to use propaganda to get public support. These people are just blaming it on God. And you know, it's interesting because Iran's President Ahmadinejad said that Western countries were using weather control to create droughts in this country. There's no doubt in my mind that is happening.
Well, talk about the ultimate weapon. First, you bring people into the famine, and then you let them know that it's not God, it's you. And talk about an ultimate. You don't need nuclear energy or nuclear weapons when you have that kind of godlike power, as you called it. It's very frightening. Let's talk talk about for a moment about the Morgellons connection. Do you know about that as well?
I'm aware of Morgellons. I have addressed this strictly from the geoengineering aspect. I know Clifford Carnicom has done a great deal of research specifically on Morgellons, and I think it's an important issue that needs to get addressed. In my filmmaking, I could literally make each film about 30 hours long, but we have a limited time, limited budget, and for the market that we reached out to, you know, we've been effective at getting public support around the world in many different areas. Morgellons, I believe, is very real, and it's very harmful, and I support the research, and I support the effort by the people, but my market finds it hard enough to believe that airplanes are spraying chemicals into our sky. So I think when you address truth, there needs to be an issue called prudency with that. And I learned during my years of teaching, I was a teacher in grammar school, and I taught 3rd, 5th, 7th, and 8th grade, and I learned truth is kind of like mathematics. And I could go in, you know, with 1 plus 1 and some of the basic math with the 3rd graders, but the 8th graders, we got into algebra. And they were aware of that, and they grasped it, and they did well with it. But when I took the same concepts to the 8th graders and brought it to the 3rd graders, they did not know what I was talking about. And what I learned from that is you have to speak to your audience at a level that they can comprehend, and it's very important. So with that being said, some of our goals are to bring people into this issue that may not have ever been exposed to anything outside of the corporate mainstream media. And this is a far stretch for a lot of people to accept, but it's been effective in the method that we're at. So with that being said, you know, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is know who your audience is and speak to them at the level that they're able to comprehend, because truth can really, if we use it in an imprudent way, it can push people away and make people, you know, so that they're not open to this at all. And I'm not saying that Clifford Carnicom does that. What I'm saying is he does very effective with his audience, and we have to respect that and we have to support it.
All right. Well, can you tell us then in some detail, since you are speaking to the actual geoengineers who are admitting that this is taking place, what exactly is being sprayed? You've talked about aluminum, barium, and strontium. Why these chemicals, and what else is being sprayed, and why? What have you learned?
Well, first, up until just a couple of months ago, geoengineers have denied that these programs have been started, and they're just now starting to admit that certain geoengineering, what they call experiments, are going on. But again, what we see in the sky matches geoengineers' proposals exactly, and what we are finding in a rain test, which, by the way, the contamination has increased up to 50,000 percentage points in certain tests, match numerous geoengineering patterns. Again, it's aluminum, barium, strontium, but then it's not limited to that. That is what many people now are considering the chemtrail geoengineering footprint, those heavy metals. But there are other toxins that are being found, and even, you know, Clifford Carnicom found biologicals in there, and that's the realm that he's been so effective at addressing to people. But many different things, and again, aluminum, now, it's a conductor. Our sky is actually 4 times more conductive than it was just 30 years ago. Why is that? Well, it's because they're spraying a ton of toxins. Also, a NOAA study just came out, and they've noted actually a 50% increase in stratospheric aerosols. Interestingly enough, they did not test for the composition of those aerosols, nor did they document the source of it. We know what the source is, and we know what the composition is because it's in the fallout of a rain and air test that we have, not only in the U.S., not only here in Hawaii, but around the world. So there are many different objectives that are obtained by the different types of aerosols and substances and contaminants that they're putting in our air. But it's not only showing up in rain tests and in air tests, it's also showing up in blood tests. And many people now are beginning to get blood tests and hair follicle tests revealing very, very high levels of aluminum and barium and other toxins. And a group in Mojave County, actually, I believe it was 26, I might be a little off on my numbers, but over 80% of that, those people who obtained blood tests, they had what was considered to be over 1,000 times the level that is considered to be normal for barium research. Yikes. And barium is so toxic to human health, as well as aluminum and the other things that they're spraying. But this is not about human health. This is not about serving humanity. These programs are about consolidating an enormous amount of political and monetary power into the hands of a few. And these programs enable these entities to do that.
So for people who are still not understanding why we've got Codex Alimentarius and they're shutting down natural farms and people's own ability to produce their own food, this would give them a little insight into why that's taking place.
And it could be their contingency plan because people are waking up. They're saying, wait a minute, I deserve to be able to grow my own natural food and I'm not submitting to your corporate agenda. So they have many different backup plans to try and get what they want, and that's complete godlike power and control over every natural thing on the planet, including you and I and every listener. And I'm very serious when I say we're in an amazing time in history because we're at a crossroad, and we have the ability to create the future that we want and to make changes. So we have to decide, what do we want? Do we want this evil empire ruling over us and enslaving us and reducing our children's health, reducing their ability and their longevity? Or do we want to create the world that was created by our God, by our Creator, and controlled by nature? And that's the kind of world that I want, so I'm going to do what I have to do to obtain that and hopefully encourage others to take action. So that's why it's so important. And What in the World Are They Spraying is available for free on YouTube. But we also, we also need support. We're running on fumes, and we encourage everybody who purchases a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. As a result, we have people who go out to a lot of public locations handing out DVDs. I hand out hundreds every month, rarely leave home without them. But it's very effective because we've started ordinances. So anyways, it helps support the work that we do so we can address this 7 days a week, but also the vision of continuing this worldwide movement. What in the world are they spraying.info is the website, what the world are they spraying.info. And we definitely need to support each other to address these crimes.
Indeed. All right, I'm going to open it up for questions, for call-ins now. I thought I heard the phone beep a minute ago. I don't have the phone number memorized, so on your BBS radio homepage where you're tuned in listening to the show, you've got the Station 1 call-in numbers. If you'd like to call in and please call in. Oh, here we go. Thanks, Don. The phone numbers are... Now that's what I call having it together. Hold on a minute. The call-in toll-free number is 888-627-6008 for U.S. and Canada. And or you can call in if you can't use that toll-free number on 530-327-7602. So call in. This is your chance to address, to get your questions answered by someone who is immersed in this information and who can give you straight talk. So we're taking calls for the rest of the hour of this interview. Come on in. All right, so you said you wanted to talk more about weather control. This, when you talk about them, we know that there is a one-world government who is running the show, at least believing they are for the moment. So this is a global situation here. There's not a place I have been, I'm a world traveler, that I have not seen chemtrails in the last 5 years. Not a place. Do you believe that Monsanto and these mega corporations and are controlling all of the governments in around the world, or is there some semblance of sovereignty still in some nations that can take action?
Well, I think we all have sovereignty, and that's a choice that we want to make. Do we want to submit to this? So I think the importance does not deal with the country that we're in, but it deals with what we want. So we can exert our authority, our sovereignty. And that's a personal issue, but bottom line is this. If we all did, they would not be able to perpetuate this on humanity. That's why it's so important that we take action in a peaceful, nonviolent way. But there are certain countries that do not have sprain around the world. But it's interesting. We've been studying satellites, so you can see the aerosols right around the borders of the country. But I want to point out that weather control, because there was a treaty which was actually established so that countries would not use this type of technology in warfare, but that treaty had an exemption on countries doing it to themselves. So by putting, according to meteorologist Scott Key, this is the key. Here is the key. What we found out was that treaty does not apply to the United States or other countries that want to spray above them. And Scott Stevens, meteorologist, has been studying this. You can affect a storm several thousand miles away. So they can spray over the continent here in the U.S. or over the Pacific. The Pacific has been laden with aerosols. I'm looking up through the break in the sky in our aerosols right over the rainforest here on Maui. They target the islands. We don't know why, but we have some ideas. But anyways, a storm can be manipulated, again, several thousand miles away, so they can spray over their own country and affect weather in a different area. But again, it's interesting because geoengineers say, you know, these programs could be damaging if left in the control of some little country. So we're going to have to establish world government. Yeah, that's right. We're going to have to establish world government to regulate it. So give up your sovereignty. Trust us. Put this in our hands, because if we allow this technology in somebody else's hands, they might not use it prudently. Let me tell you, these programs are not being used prudently, no matter whose hands they're in, unless they're in the hands of our Creator, and that would be God. That's the only person that we should trust, and that's how insidious these programs are. So again, it's interesting. Anytime there's a situation, they say, wait a minute, yeah, we should consolidate power into our hands. Yes. More control, more globalist agenda into our hands. No. We're not buying into it. This is it's not something I'm going to subscribe to.
All right. I'm curious about, you said that you have your ideas about why they're spraying so heavily over the island. I spend time in the Azores Island, which is not a big food producer. It's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And even there, I saw chemtrails. So what are your ideas about why they're Is it about positioning for HAARP, or what are your ideas about why we're getting chemtrails over these relatively unpopulated locations?
Well, up until just a couple months ago, the islands, two of the islands, were seeing a significantly higher degree of aerosols in the sky, and that was Maui and Kauai. And Monsanto has a tremendous foothold on both of these islands. So the theory, and again, this is the only theory that it could be linked into Monsanto, but I'm getting reports, and I'll be heading to the Big Island next week to go and do some public outreach, a screening of the film, and also some activism. So with that being said, it appears it could be that that experimentation in terms of what they can do with the food supply. And an island such as Maui or Kauai is a very effective place for experimentation, because what happens in this little microcosm that has seven different climates, they even have snow right here on Maui, so they have every climate. What happens here can be predictable on a much larger scale, so it's a great place to experiment on, but it's also a very effective place to establish an ordinance, because, again, the activism that we have and that we obtain in the success that we're seeing here can be predictable on a larger scale, and that's why I'm back on Maui. It's a very key place to establish and activate our political agenda, and that political agenda is to pass ordinances to get these programs stopped and then bring it out to the larger scale. And that's why I'm here. So, you know, you asked a great question. Do you think that the people on Maui can get it stopped? No, I think the people on Maui can start to get it stopped. But it's not up to only the small handful of people. It's up to all of us. So I hope all of the listeners recognize that and take some action in addressing this. But see the film, please. Whatever you do, I would love for you to buy a film and get active. If you can't do that, it's available on YouTube. And please see some of the other work that I've done on truthmediaproductions.us. This issue is so vital to not only becoming knowledgeable about, but in addressing. I can't stress that enough.
Yes, we will definitely remind people at the end of the show, again, about seeing the film and buying the film, but we need you to give us more information now that will help people to be motivated to even get these materials, as to the information that you've got that you're receiving from these people, especially you said you've talked to geoengineers, and we have only 15 minutes left for you to tell us more about what you're being told. What is the projection? Is there an end in sight to this program? Do they talk about it? You said, I don't know how many millions of tons are projected to be dumped. Do they have a cutoff time when they're going to stop doing this, or what?
Oh, that's a good question. It's 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum. Of course, we've seen aluminum-related illnesses such as Alzheimer's and other neurological disorders go through the roof. Alzheimer's is up over 260% in Los Angeles County. Is there an end in sight? Geoengineer Ellen Robach has made the comment several times that once we start these programs, it will be next to impossible to stop, because if we stop, the Earth's temperature will go skyrocket and will have all kinds of consequences. Well, they have started these programs. And what it does, geoengineers are very open about their programs shredding our ozone. And NOAA just came out with a report illustrating a significant decline in our ozone. So with that being said, it's almost like they painted themselves into a corner, because they're destroying, as we speak, the natural layer in our sky. So we think, again, we could have a lot of drastic changes if they stop these programs. But in the natural balance of things, and I think it almost relates to an alcoholic or a drug addict, those people can continue on with life, not in a very effective way, but they can continue on. But if they stop these drugs, they go into severe withdrawal symptoms, but they eventually get better and maintain the integrity of their health. And I think that's what we're dealing with. So the only way to rebound, I've spoken to a lot of biologists and scientists, and I said, when will this damage that they've created, when will the Earth rebound? And I've heard, I don't know if it'll be 10 years or 10,000 years. We just don't know. But bottom line is this, these programs need to stop so that the Earth can get back into her natural balance. Once we have that, we can again live life in a peaceful manner.
10 years getting the Earth back into balance seems a little optimistic, but I'm all for it. But it seems that we have quite a way to go. First of all, stopping the program, they say, will bring a huge imbalance to the planet, but proceeding with the program is bringing a huger imbalance to the planet, if there is such a word, right?
That's right, and you have to look at it from a power standpoint. And, you know, the number one question, which you didn't ask, and this comes up usually every speaking engagement that I do, is if they're spraying this, aren't they breathing the same thing? And a lot of people find it difficult to grasp this issue. How would they spray it if they're subject to the same thing? I have two theories on that. The first one I'm not so sure about, but it's a theory that I'd like to throw out there. I'm doing various things to affect my health. I'm chelating the heavy metals out through the use of bentonite, chlorella, other detoxifiers. I think it's safe to assume that the people at the very high levels of these programs have access to far greater technologies. And again, that's a theory, and I'm not sure if they're safe from it. What I really think this is, we'll go back to a statement geoengineer David Keith said. He said geoengineering gives man godlike power. And if we look at weather control, these things, again, produce an enormous amount of power. So I believe this. Most of us, including the listeners, know a family member or perhaps a friend who became dependent on a drug. And in that addiction, a drug addict will not only put their health at risk, but their family's member's health at risk. Power is an addiction. These people will go and they will do anything in order to get it. There's no different, whether it's a substance or this issue of power. And that's what I think we're dealing with. We're dealing with an addiction to power at the expense of everything.
You mentioned that you're chelating with chlorella, and obviously here's the question. So how do you get tools to work with that aren't also damaged by these metals in them?
Well, you want to talk to a naturopathic physician. And you're right, things are being contaminated. But a lot of plant life do have mechanisms, because aluminum is very toxic to the natural system, so they will shut down the root system. And that's why you see a lot of things dying right now. So as a result, we do have those mechanisms. I honestly can't answer that question. Everything is being contaminated, but we have to work with what we have at this moment until we get these programs stopped.
And what is your understanding of what's happening to the water? Are the same contaminant levels as high in the water as they are in the soil?
Well, gravity takes effect. So when they spray over the ocean, of course, these metals, they're very small particles, but they do actually fall, you know, down towards the bottom. We tested a pond in Shasta County that came up with extremely high levels of aluminum. That was taken down towards the bottom. It was a material. It was not soil at all that was tested. There was no soil in that pond. But anyways, it was very high. So with that being said, it's getting into certain waters, but it's falling towards the bottom. There was a water reservoir tested here in Maui, and had over almost 4,000 parts per billion of aluminum, and it had a very high, I think, levels of barium in it. But again, that was tested towards the bottom. There was a test that NOAA did about a year and a half ago, and they studied heavy metal toxicity in whales. And whales had thousands of times the normal amounts of aluminum in their system. So this it's showing up everywhere. They've been spraying so heavy over the Pacific and other oceans. And again, that's to modify and control our weather primarily.
All right, well, here we are. We're getting close to the end of the show. So please, before you, again, give people information about where they can get the films, what is your last uplifting message about humankind and our taking of our sovereign rights here to help make this stop?
Well, we've got an incredible responsibility, but also opportunity, and that is this: to create what we want, what kind of world we want. And we're at a vital time in history. You know, I don't think that we've ever had an issue this serious, I can guarantee you, but also a great opportunity to make the change that we want. So we do have the ability to get these programs stopped, but it only occurs with us in the spoken word. So if we address this in a peaceful, nonviolent way, and part of that has to do with activism, please get links to YouTube, send these out, put them on Facebook. But also, get a copy of the DVD and burn away. Burn as many as you would like. We have a guy in Tucson who hands out about 1,000 DVDs per week, and it's been a very effective tool, not only in the public realm, but the film What in the World Are They Spraying has been a very effective tool bringing into our politicians, more so at the local level. They're essentially sold out at the congressional and Senate level. But if you go into your county ordinances, we found that people are very receptive, the politicians, and deeply concerned about this. So again, you can find my work and also the DVD and the trailer to our new film, which has gotten an incredible response, Why in the World Are They Spraying, at the following website, truthmediaproductions.us. That's truthmediaproductions.us. And we ask that you pre-order the film in doing so, and or donating if you feel like you want to do that. We filmed the last film, or we funded the entire last project on pre-orders and donations. As a result, the participation has gotten out. This film has gotten out to over 10 million people, and it was done on a shoestring budget. So we need support, so please help support the project, but more importantly, help support the activism. If you can't afford it, send a link out. The link to the new trailer is available on YouTube and truthmediaproductions.us.
Wonderful. All right. You hear it, people. You know, it's not good enough to just moan about it and worry and be disempowered. We've got to rise to the occasion. So help Michael and his people with what they're doing. And if you can't afford to buy the film to spread it around, then by cracky, at least talk about it to everyone you know and talk about the situation with everyone you know so that we help raise the voice of human consciousness. Thank you, Michael Murphy. He's been a wonderful educating guest for the show today. And I'd like to also tell you that coming in 2 weeks, I have an amazing guest. His name is Dan Romanek. You might have heard of from him. He's been on all the major media, and I'm kind of thrilled he's coming on this show. He will be talking about every kind of thing. This is the guy who had the alien face appear in the window, and people tried to debunk it, but it's been proven scientifically to not have been retouched as far as video goes. He's got National Geographic. He's got all kinds of people coming and checking out what's going on in his environment, craft, beings, whatever. It's going to be an amazing show. So please don't forget to tune in and tell a friend. You know, we really need our audiences to grow, and all of us out here in the truth movement, we need your support, which is, you know, it takes a lot to stand up and be loud and be vulnerable to everything that comes at you when you're representing what we will call the truth movement. And all of it is for the planet. All of it is for all of humankind and all the living beings. So please care enough to be supportive. And if that's telling your friends, hey, listen to this, or sending donations or whatever is your intention, please spread the word. Your spirit warriors are working for the good of all. And that means we need you to get off of your assets and be involved. All right. Thanks again to Michael. Thank you all for listening. This is Patricia Corey, Beyond the Matrix, daring again that you look beyond the box of convention and soar with the eagles of the free thought zone. I've loved being with you today. Thank you all. I want you to have a great day and think about what you've heard. And yes, look up at the sky and know that we can bring the skies blue again. We can change this tape. All righty, this is Pat Corey signing out. Nanu, nanu.